Chapter 8. Holy Mother, Gulab Kaur. Now came the time to leave Abbottabad. I have already described the spiritual experiences of this period. Many other similar mystical experiences have so far remained a close secret with intimate friends. They should be kept strictly confidential and not discussed with every type of person. The spiritual experiences with which I was blessed on Guru Gobind Singh's birthday should never be penned. They should, as far as possible, be related only to those enlightened persons who have profound understanding of the illumination of transcendent experience. After this experience, I was impelled to resign from government service. There was a prayerful longing in my heart to live only in spiritual atmospheres of Akhandpat, Gadams, and divine fervor. A voice from the unknown appeared to say to me, "You will now enjoy many more Akhandpats, the continuous readings of Guru Granth Sahib. Go drink deep from this fountain of life and enjoy the rich treasures left to us by our spiritual forefathers, the divine gurus." I felt if I had a distant call to go back home, who could stop me? People did try to prevent me from leaving the place, but in the face of this mysterious call from within, I could not but leave the place at once. I hardly knew who was pulling me from within my heart. It was an irresistible call. It became difficult for me to stay at Abbottabad any longer. People began to praise and bestow undue reverence on me by calling me Bhakt Babu. I tried to touch my feet as I passed, and they tried to touch my feet as I passed by them. I feared that this praise might create vanity, and which might destroy all the spirituality with which I had been blessed. The best way to escape from such an atmosphere, over and above it, was the inward call. The Sangat of Abbottabad did not wish that I should go, but the divine call was irresistible. After saying my last prayers, I left the place. Many people accompanied me up to Haripur out of deep love and respect. I went to Haripur to see a very enlightened woman saint who had achieved the highest state of illumination. The Sikhs of Haripur, who knew me, also came to meet me, but I was anxious to see this woman saint, whom people called Mata Gulab Kaur. And the tales of whose supreme renunciation and saintliness impressed me deeply. It would be proper to write here briefly about the early life of this woman saint, who had achieved the highest spiritual state. She was the first real saint I met in my life. Her story, as told to me by a Sikh from Haripur, is as follows. Gulab Kaur's husband was a very religious person. The spiritually enlightened husband had devoted a very pious wife in Gulab Kaur. The love and service of her husband was to her the love and service of God. Like the inseparable Sheldrake and the moon, she could not live apart from her husband even for a moment. According to the wishes of her husband, she had memorized the Sukmani and Pavanakari, and she recited these prayers every day. She was, however, not leading much of a contemplative life. She was too absorbed in the love of her husband. She did not as yet know the spiritual significance of the divine name. When her husband died at quite a young age, the death of her husband came as such a blow to her that she turned her mind away from the world, and like a true sati, she who sacrifices herself along with her dead husband. She died to the physical world around her, only to live in spiritual ecstasy of divine contemplation. The light of God began to shine in her pure soul. The love for her husband gradually changed into an intense love for God, in which she became deeply imbued. She was beautiful and quite young. The spiritual grace on her face revealed her radiant soul. It was difficult to look straight into the red, dazzling glow of her face. She renounced the world and left her home. In this fearless state, this young child of light wandered away. Detached and free like a bird, her mind was always fixed on God, and she spent her days in deep meditative mood. She appeared to have lost her body consciousness, deeply absorbed in the divine name. Mata Gulab Kaur moved about with a radiant charm on her face. There are innumerable stories about her saintliness and spiritual powers, which for want of space cannot be related here. Wherever she went, her meditative silence and spiritual beauty attracted people. The streets, the villagers, or even the forest bloomed with life and with the spirit of reverence when she was there. She became very well known in Haripur, Hazara, and the surrounding areas. She was deeply absorbed in meditative moods that she rarely spoke to anyone. Guru Nanak Patshah writes, "In ecstasy he laughs, in ecstasy he weeps. At times he becomes silent." Such was the spiritual condition of this saintly lady. She became careless about her clothes. All she had was her underwear and a blanket wrapped around her body. When I expressed my desire to meet her, people said, "She does not allow anyone to come near her. She drives away everyone by throwing stones at them. Out of fear, no one goes near her. No one has seen her talking to anyone. Sometimes she is mumbling some words in soliloquy. It is not easy to go near her. If you want to see her from a distance, we can show her to you. If you wish to go near her, you may go at your own risk. Otherwise, we do not dare to go near her." After saying a short prayer, I set out to meet Mata Gulab Kaur. I came to know that she was sitting in front of a shop which was closed. People showed her to me from the street corner of a street. She was sitting with a blanket around her body, and her back was towards us. While other people turned back, I moved towards her. Even her face was covered with a blanket. As I moved on with reverence and devotion close to her, the Holy Mother, through her inner vision, having divined my presence, stood there with electric suddenness, and turning towards me with folded hands, she greeted me with Khalsa greeting, "Vaheguru Ji Ka Khalsa, Vaheguru Ji Ki Fateh." I was deeply moved, and the people who looked on were quite surprised. One or two dared now to come near. Mother Gulab Kaur, still standing with folded hands, in humble adoration, I moved forward to touch her feet. But with her lotus-like pure hands, she prevented me from doing so. She was about to spread her blanket, asking me to sit on it, but I begged her not to do so, as a humble person like me could not bear to see such a divine soul like her bestow such unusual and respect and reverence on me, which I did not deserve. "I seek a humble place in the dust of thy feet, Holy Mother," said I. I sat near her on the ground, leaving the blanket with her. She sat there in a calm meditative mood, and I still visualize her saintly figure sitting in silent contemplation. The profound impression of her divine personality is deeply engraved in my heart. It is difficult to describe the spiritual influence of this great personality and its cool and thrilling effect on my heart and soul. I felt purified and exalted, and my heart began to beat louder with the rhythm of divine name. There was a spiritual union of our souls, and this mystic silence we conversed with each other. The thought waves emanating from one were understood by the other. What need was there to speak? After some time, the Holy Mother spoke in a melodious voice, saying, "I am only a lone traveler. How shall I entertain you? I am just a lone traveler." In a very sweet and musical tone, she repeated these words, and she suddenly got up, asking me to keep sitting there for a while. She took her blanket, and in an intoxicated move, moved towards a fruit shop. She picked up some fruits from the shop, brought them there, and offering them to me, said, "Accept this humble offering of one who is dedicated to the Lord." I accepted the great saint's offerings of love and felt greatly blessed. Then she said, "May you ever be blessed, and blessings on you, noble Sikh of the Guru. The Guru has indeed lighted a wonderful lamp." In a sublime state of mood, she showered blessings and love on me. I begged the Holy Mother to bestow benediction on me and pray that this lamp, which had been lighted by the Guru, may ever keep on burning. She said, "It will keep on burning with ever-increasing light." We were both standing, and she now wished me to depart. I asked the Holy Mother, when may I get a chance to have a glimpse of her divine personality again?" To this she replied, "Spiritually united souls never feel any separation. On the physical plane there may not be any meeting, but we will meet again in the presence of the Lord." And then, in a tone of blessing, she said, You have now received the divine call to perform akhand parts. Go, be blessed, and enjoy spiritual enlightenment. On the way, pay homage to the Panja Sahib and Gurdwara. These were the last few words she spoke in the short meeting between us. I bowed low to touch her feet. There were tears in her eyes. I too was overwhelmed with tears. Patting me on my back, she blessed me again and helped me rise to my feet. After completing the pilgrimage to Panja Sahib in Amritsar, I came back to the village and met the divine friends from whom I had been long separated. By the grace of the Guru, there was one counterpart after another, and my spiritual condition became more and more exalted. I do not know for how many years and months this undisturbed peace and bliss lasted, until suddenly the hawks of fate pounced on a curfew bird and started the saga of a long prison life.